Hey, this is Quinn.
This is Matt.
Welcome to the White Noise Podcast.
Welcome to the White Noise Podcast.
Hi, this is Quinn's mom. Welcome to the White Noise Podcast.
Two, one.
I think we did better that time.
That was the best counting we've ever done.
Yeah, I know. I try to keep it quick. Welcome to... Come on, don't cut me off.
No, I was just going to say AKA like a normal counting speed. No one's ever counted as slow as you do, my friend.
Yeah, well, slow and steady wins the race.
Counting, though.
I'm going to welcome, though, okay? I'm going to start that off.
Well, feel free to welcome.
All right. Welcome to the White Noise Podcast. I am your co-host, Matthew Fiedler, and I'm joined, as always, with Quinn David Furness. How you doing, Quinn?
Well, right before we started recording, Matthew was trying to push the fact that I am a co-owner and co-host of the show. So I think what he's trying to do is when the ratings come in and we see that we're not doing so hot, all of a sudden Matthew's going to skip town and then Quinn's going to have two failing podcasts. And that's
well,
not going to look
okay.
Good for my stats.
This makes it sound a little bit better, but if I'm co-host, co-creator, then that means all the ratings we get are divided by two, right? So why would I want to split? Why would I want to split a failing podcast to make it like twice as failing? You know, so that you can tell right there, it's coming from the part of my heart that's very sharing and like, oh, we're in this together.
I'm
not putting it on
math.
You. Yeah, well,
all right.
I can put in an Excel spreadsheet and
like
ship it over to you.
It's like that song "Half of My Heart" with John Mayer and Taylor Swift.
You know, I'm having a deja vu because I feel like we've talked about that on the podcast before.
Oh, really? I just try to bring that up once every conversation per day, so that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, let me tell you something that's kind of interesting. I to help boost our ratings, I normally listen to our podcast through at least one full time. After it's uploaded, because one, I just want to see if I botch something up, and like, I'm very hesitant to call it sound design or sound editing, but just clipping and pasting like a madman. And I want to see if I end up missing something, because that's happened before when I just inserted an ad right in the middle of like mid sentence.
Yes, it has.
But I've noticed there's so many times when I have a deja vu, like we've talked about certain things over and over again. I feel like we've talked about the Avengers. I feel like we've talked about Aziz Ansari several times. I feel like we've talked about now John Mayer and Taylor Swift's song "Half of My Heart." There's a few repetitive areas that we keep going to, I think. But
well, I haven't figured out how to listen to the podcast yet, so I'm not really sure, but I'll take your word for it.
What's your... And this will be kind of something for the fans too. What's your preferred way of listening to podcasts? Because you may not know this, but we're available on iTunes, Google Play. I think not Google Play, Google Podcasts rather. Stitcher, CastBox, I think is one. All over the place.
Yeah, if I'm on my phone, I usually just go to the podcast app, which I think is Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm on my computer, I really don't listen to any podcasts on my computer outside of, so I was lying earlier, I do occasionally listen to our podcast, then I just go straight to Anchor.
Okay.
But I never get into, like, CastBox, I don't have any experience with. Stitcher, I really know nothing about. Even Spotify has podcasts, but I don't ever use Spotify in general.
Well, I don't have a Spotify account. Here's something, and maybe we can go on a slight rant about this, but I feel like everything is becoming like the Netflix of something, or, you know, it's a subscription pay-to-play, you know, type situation where like you can get an Amazon account, or you can get Netflix, which has more content. You can get some of that content on Amazon, but you also get free shipping. But you also get some music on Amazon. So do you really need Spotify? But Spotify has more music. You know what I mean? So what's one subscription I can get to get everything that I want? I don't want to like spend $15 here, $10 here, $20 there. You know what I mean?
I kind of feel like Amazon is taking over the world, and they're probably the leaders across not across the board, but in terms of meeting a bunch of different needs across different areas. Like, you can't get music on Netflix. You can't get free shipping on anything from Spotify. So I think I think Jeff Bezos has got it figured out.
Yeah. I see, the thing is, they don't have one thing. They do, but they do a lot of things okay. Like, I'll use their music app, but there's plenty of times when I want to listen to something that's newer, and it's like, oh, you have to get Amazon Unlimited. You know, it's not covered by just the basic Prime membership. And then same thing with, like, videos. They have a little bit, but as far as, like, original content, they don't have, like, Stranger Things. They don't have, you know, what's up and coming, like Netflix, or Hulu really doesn't have much, I guess. But things like that. It's not going to be like a Disney Plus. It's just kind of like, yeah, there's stuff that you can watch. There's just not much. So I just kind of, I'm a Prime member, and I just kind of, I don't expose myself to a whole lot of content. I'm going to be honest with you. It's pretty much just like, I think Parks and Rec is on Prime, but I own The Office. And what else do I really need to watch? You know?
Well, you heard about that new show, The Boys. That's a Prime original.
Oh, is it? I haven't seen anything about it, or I haven't watched it yet. I think I've seen trailers for it.
Apparently it's like Amazon Prime's highest rated show ever, which doesn't necessarily relate to our specific conversation we're having right now, because it's only contained to Amazon. But yeah, apparently it's really good. But I think it's like a, it looks like a superhero, like Power Rangers thing. And I think that's the type of thing that, like,
Power Rangers.
It could be a really good show, but I'd watch it and just be like, well, this isn't my genre. So yeah. I don't think I'd be entertained regardless. So,
kind of going back to what you said before about Amazon, kind of, did you say owning the world? Was that your phrase that you used?
Taking over the world. Yeah.
Taking over the world. I think, and actually this is kind of ties into some current events too, because I think Bezos was kind of cornered by one way or another, a branch of the government, about kind of misleading consumers in relation to some of the Amazon reviews that are active on, you know, the Amazon website, whether they're like falsified or not legit, which I guess amounts to being the same thing. Because that's an issue. I know I've bought products and you go back and you look at the reviews, or you're, you know, thinking about purchasing something and you look at the reviews and it just doesn't seem like it's an actual review. It's like 5 stars, you know, good deal. And then it's just like short. They're not in depth. They're pretty, you know, topical, just very easy to like copy and paste type reviews. But at the end of the day, I think, Amazon's kind of getting their feet in the fire in the area of they're promoting these products. So I'm not sure how the algorithm works or if it is indeed an algorithm, but I think things that don't sell necessarily well, they'll cut prices, right? And Amazon will say, oh, hey, this is on sale. It's a deal, you know? Or the company that's selling it or Amazon will falsify how high the price is and then say, oh, hey, it's this much percent off. So if you're doing that and it's a crappy product, they're just trying to shill, you kind of coerce people into buying it because it's like, oh, it's a good deal. It's highly rated, you know, and Amazon's kind of endorsing it one way or the other, if it's featured on the homepage or whatever. But basically, and I'm trying to remember the branch of the government that's calling them out. I should probably know this. But they're saying that it's not necessarily fraudulent, but it's not right. And my response to that is, we're still consumers, even if, you know, we're surrounded by quote unquote to, for lack of a better term, fake news everywhere you turn. I don't think consumer reviews are going to be different, but the one thing that I would say, and this is me kind of being the Amazon fanboy that I am, I've never had an issue returning something either with Amazon. So even if you bought a crappy product and the review was not maybe legit or accurate, you can always send it back. And I don't think I've ever had any issues doing that. End of rant. That was, I don't know, was that like 2 minutes, 2.5 or three?
I was taking a nap. So it's one of those things where you don't know if you're asleep for 2 minutes or 2 hours. But yes, I'm not really sure what your driving point was. So I don't disagree with anything you said.
Okay, that's good. That's a good place to start. No, basically the premise is even if Amazon has like false reviews, if you buy something and you don't like it, you can always return it, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. Don't you have to, you got to drive out to the UPS store or something though, don't you?
I think you can maybe pay to have them pick it up.
Yeah,
or you can drop it off. Yeah, so there's paying, but also you can drop it off at the UPS store and you technically have like a month to do so.
Yeah, so it's never free because you, one way or another, you either have to drive somewhere or you have to pay for them to pick it up.
Yeah, or you can drop it off at Kohl's. I guess what I'm thinking of is if you're not going to be around one of the many UPS stores in a month, like you must be out in the middle of nowhere.
Or you maybe don't have a car.
Or that, yeah.
Like most of us.
Or can you... Maybe you can't do this, but if you see like a UPS person delivering, can you just be like, hey, can you take this?
I don't think so.
Is that frowned upon? I feel like I've tried to do that at one point.
Oh, and what, maybe it was, what happened?
Maybe it was the post office. Maybe it wasn't UPS.
You know, I don't see them really around where I live now, but where I used to live in Baltimore, there were lots of like UPS drop boxes just on the street. But the like space for you to put something in was always so small
that you could only do like envelopes or something.
So I'm like, what's the point? Like who's mailing envelopes through UPS? Like if I'm using a ground carrier like that, it's going to be a package or else I'm just going to use USPS. So yeah, that happened to me a couple of times where I had a package that I was like, maybe this fits, maybe it doesn't. And I took the chance and I walked like the half mile to the drop box and I couldn't quite get it in. And then I felt like the dummy standing there on the sidewalk, like trying to squeeze this thing in and it never made it. So yeah, it was pretty depressing.
That's what she said. One thing that I would say too is that you look at, there's a lot of different areas in our life that I feel it's so apparent. Like, technology will make it better than it is now. Like you look at cell phones, they're going to be faster. They're going to, you know, be useful in a lot of, you know, more advanced ways than they currently are. That's my guess. But you look at shipping and it's like, I feel like we're always going to have the need to move physical objects different places. Like, I don't see that changing. The way that it's done is probably going to be different, albeit like drones or let's say you purchase something and it just gets 3D printed by you. I guess there's a possibility of that. But I think that like being like working for UPS or FedEx, like that's going to be that's like a constant, I would say. I mean, this is me not being much of a fortune teller or profit, I suppose, but it'd be hard for me to picture a world where that wasn't the case.
So let me ask you this. Did you do anything weird with your phone in the last like 30 seconds? Cause you went into robot mode again.
No, I did not.
Oh,
should
boy.
I move it around?
No, it's,
am I going to be stuck? Am I going to be stuck like this?
It's every like 15 minutes. I mean, it's for probably like 10 seconds. You go into like glitchy, I can get like some of what you're saying and then mostly not, but just so you're aware.
Oh, you know what? I think, so I just got a call.
Who's calling you at 11 p.m.?
You know me. I'm a busy guy. Not really, but...
No one ever calls me.
Is the audio better now or
Thank
no?
Thank God. Yeah, you've sounded fine for the last, you know, 90 seconds or so.
Okay, yeah. So that might have... I don't know why that would have changed anything, but... Anyway, so that's kind of, I guess, my end of rant. We don't have to talk about Amazon anymore, but it's just something kind of interesting, I guess. Oh, also, I know I said I wasn't going to say anything more, but Amazon has filed requested a liquor license in the state of California so they can sell some rosés.
Only in California?
I think it's just California. I think you're going to have to do it like... either state by state or location by location. And I'm sure there's some hurdles as far as like verifying IDs and, you know, legal age, but
yeah, I don't think I've ever bought alcohol online before. In fact,
well, I don't think you really can.
Oh yeah, can you? Oh, absolutely. I mean, like,
well, I know it can be done. You look at, what's his face? Gary Vaynerchuk.
Gary,
I think,
Busey.
Not quite, but he does like empathy wines. And I think that was like, that's fully online.
Empathy wines.
Yeah.
What on earth are you talking about?
It's called empathy wines.
Okay.
Look it up. Google this.
No, I'm lying on my couch. far away.
Okay. I'll look it up for you and you'll just have to trust me.
That's fine. I'm not worried about that.
And you're also going to have to wait for my internet to kick in and do its thing.
You got like 6G.
6G, I wish.
They have it in China.
All right, empathy wines. Yeah, empathy wines. That's a thing. Did you want me to go into further detail, or is that good enough for you?
Is it called empathy wines because it has something to do with empathy?
Maybe some of the proceeds go towards like a charitable cause. I don't know.
Huh. I mean, I guess only one person I knew, but she belonged to like a wine of the month club.
Okay.
Actually, no,
I think
knew
you
some,
can do that here too.
I knew some people on the East Coast who did that as well. But then also like, I feel like with pretty much anything in life, you can go on the internet, and if you're willing to search hard enough, or maybe it's not even hard at all, but if you're willing to search, you can buy it. And I'm talking about booze. I'm talking about hookers. I'm talking about drugs.
Oh, yeah.
The whole
deep
nine
web.
Yards.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they shut down Silk Road 2.0, but there's got to be, you know, copycats out there.
What is it? Backpage? I think it was one that was a big deal like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
I have no idea, but if you're savvy enough, it can't be that hard.
I don't know. I feel like you kind of need to already know what you're doing to do that. You know what I mean? And I don't know how you get to that point, but yeah, I'm sure definitely people have that figured out. Or they just... the people that are kind of computer savvy just work as a middleman for that, for people that don't. But
sure.
But yeah, empathy wines is a thing. I guess their goal is to be, it says empathy for the farmer, empathy for you.
For the farmer?
Like empathy is not the right word though.
I don't really understand this business.
Yeah. It's just, great wine is too expensive.
So what do you need, like a driver's license to buy it?
Should I try to buy one? Let's see. What should I get? A red?
It could be one of those sites where it just asks you, are you 18 plus?
And it did, yeah. Also, do you, when it asks you if you're over like 21, when you have to put in your birth date, do you actually put in your birth date or do you just type in random numbers?
Yeah. It depends.
Because I was just super honest and literally just put in my actual birth date.
Hey, you're a very trusting person.
Yeah, I guess so. So I can get the empathy bundle, which is three shipments of three bottles. So that's, if you're slow at math, that's
nine
bottles total. Yeah. Three shipments of six bottles, which is
50 or something.
18. Or the Club Empathy, which is 3 shipments of 12 bottles. That's
Holy
a lot.
Cow.
That's 36 total, everybody. And that's $240 per a shipment.
Wait, it's 240 per shipment, and each shipment has 12?
3 shipments, yeah. So, 240 divided by 12.
Someone's going to have to do the math on that. It might be 20, yeah. But it might not be.
Yeah, but I think it is. So, that's not super expensive.
Just wait till the Obama taxes kick in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of, this whole subscription thing has kind of gotten out of hand, too. You can just subscribe to your clothes. You can subscribe to beard health. You can subscribe to pretty much anything.
I know people who don't go to the grocery store anymore.
Isn't that fabulous? I mean, like, that's pretty convenient. But also, do you, like, just pay someone to do all the shopping for you? Or do you just pick what you want, like, you order it at the store and they have it ready for you?
No, they bring it right to your house. I think, like, Peapod is a big company does that. And I've looked into it, and it just makes no financial sense. Like, it's
yeah,
way
you have to be really
expensive.
Crunched for time. Like, you're booking yourself a little tight, maybe.
Very crunched.
If that's the case.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're that booked and you don't have that much time to actually shop, you're probably making a lot more money than I am, in which case you can afford it. But as it sits right now, I have to get my own groceries.
Yeah, I think it's laziness too, honestly, because the people I've known who've done it aren't people who are making tons of money. They just are like, when I ask them about it, they're just like, well, now I don't have to go to the grocery store. And I'm like, yeah, but you're also paying like an extra $20 per like $50 of groceries. So
jeez,
I don't really understand.
It's quite the upcharge.
Well, you got to make a profit somehow.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I wonder how people do that, because like shopping's okay. Some people like to do it, I guess, and maybe that's the market of worker that's kind of jumping on that gig. But I would only like to do it for myself. You know what I mean?
I hate shopping.
If you have to go in there with a list and be like, oh man, okay, like where's this? Where's that? I feel like I remember going to the grocery store, you know, like as a child, right? And it seemed like my mom knew where everything was. It was just like, okay, we're going here. And it was such an efficient line. You go through the produce, you wrap around to the cereals and whatever. But I find myself going all around the store, maybe like a good 3 to 4 times, like back and forth, like, oh yeah, I forgot that. And it's over here. So let me go get that. It's very sporadic and it's not done well. So if I had to do that like for a living or as a side hustle, I feel like that would take up so much of my time.
I must have spent, honestly, 10 minutes in a normal grocery shopping routine for me is 15. I must have spent 10 minutes on Sunday morning at 8:15 a.m. trying to find the soy sauce. And at the end of the day, I just gave up, and I ended up at a Jewel later in the day and got my soy sauce.
Where do they keep it?
I don't know.
You don't know. We still don't know.
No idea. I went down. It wasn't just like, I think I might be in this spot or this spot. I just, after doing that for about, you know, 3 different spots, I just said, okay, I'm just going to walk every single inch of this store, every single aisle. Still no idea where the soy sauce is kept in
I
that
feel
store.
Like soy sauce, there's probably multitudes of different items that fall into this classification issue, right? Because if it's not like flour or cereal or produce, you don't know where the hell it is. You know what I mean? You look at those signs at the beginning of each aisle, you don't see soy sauce. You'll see like international foods and you're like, oh, maybe that's probably where it is, right? But what if it's like by rice? Instead,
well, you go to Jewel, which is a big chain, and they have it broken down into like Asian foods or Hispanic foods. But this is, I'm at my neighborhood market, which is not small by any means, but it's not the size of Jewel. And So they don't have like a, actually, no. They do have a small Asian section, but soy sauce is not in there. And so then you'd be like, okay, well, try buy their rice. No, not there. And eventually it was just every single aisle. And the other thing with soy sauce is it's not like, it can't hide anywhere. It's a very distinct
Know where it is.
Regardless of the bottle shape, it's going to be pitch black. And that's, you just don't
You're either picking up molasses or you're picking up soy sauce.
And I found molasses. I was walking up and I was like, oh, game over. And then it was molasses and I was like, oh, yeah, damn.
Try to put that on your
gross. On your rice. I'm making beef and broccoli tomorrow. I've never made it before. So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
So what are you going to do with the beef? You just gonna
nothing that special. Cook it on the stove and then set it aside and add it back in.
A lot of like stir fries, don't you?
I haven't much since moving here, but when I was in grad school, I had every day for lunch, I had like a cauliflower fried rice stir fry.
Wait, how did you say that word?
Cauliflower fried rice.
See, that's how I say it too. Cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
So many people get on me and say it's cauliflower.
That just takes too much effort.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. Cauliflower.
Your tongue's doing like verbal gymnastics at that point. It's cauliflower. I feel like my lips just had a stroke.
So many syllables. Okay, keep going.
Cauliflower. Which was pretty simple because I would get this big bag of like frozen stir fry mix from Aldi, which was basically, you know, broccoli, carrots, pea pods, onions, I don't know, something else,
all
whatever.
The basics.
And then I would just shred up a head of cauliflower, and then that would be lunch for, you know, 5 days. But recently, I have not been stir frying as much. I think oftentimes, you know, stir fry happens with rice, and I just can't do the cauliflower rice as much. You go online and some people are like, oh, it tastes the same. And I'm like, no, it tastes like cauliflower, which depending on how it's cooked can be great. But in like a rice format, it's never done it for me. And so then you're like, well, what if I have it with actual rice? And brown rice is not the worst thing in the world for you, but it's still like straight up carbs. And that's just something that I try to avoid as much as possible, especially right now when I'm being fairly conscious about what I eat, et cetera. So I haven't had rice physically in the last, I don't know, 2+ months or so. So I'm breaking that but tomorrow night I'm having a dish with rice. But I'll let myself go a little bit. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Well, talking about letting yourself go, I think that brings us to a good segue to our sponsorship. Should we add that in here right now?
I don't know why, but sure.
Okay. And it was a good spot where I could just remember where to clip it. So,
have you ever noticed that when you jump to the sponsor, it seems like we got dead air for like 3 seconds before you start talking.
Yeah, I gotta clip that. I think I can do it on my end, but
every week, I'm sure as hell not doing it on my end. every week I'm like, something happened to my computer, and then I'm like, nope, he's still talking. Here he comes. Yeah,
these are good. These are good pointers that I can carry through into. This time it didn't happen.
Did we already read the ads? You did so well.
Yeah, I know, right?
You sounded amazing.
Thank you. Well, I have it down to a science. I think I can get it right, like, the exact same each and every time. So
wait, you record a new one per episode?
No. So this is kind of an extended, I guess, sponsorship ad. But the way that Anchor works is you record, a sponsored segment, and then it pushes that active segment to anywhere that you spliced it. So you can, stack... let's say I have part 1, part 2, I can just drop the pre-recorded you know, ad roll and drop it in between it. Yeah. And so every time I change the main ad roll, it just changes all of them. So if I were to change it, and I might, if I need to clean up that dead air problem that Quinn was talking about, I'll just re-record it and then it'll update all of our old podcasts.
Oh, I see.
Too.
I see. So yeah. They'll all always sound the same.
Yeah. Or oh. I mean, I think I could probably do it differently, but I think we have a little bit of freedom there. So there's a little bit of a tangent. I did want to talk about cauliflower though. It seemed like a year ago it kind of was, it didn't get quite the avocado level, you know, recognition, but it became a big deal in the sense that they're putting cauliflower in like pizza crust, or it is quote unquote a pizza crust, or chicken wings. Did you see this?
Those are okay. So I can't really vouch for the pizza crust. I've heard mixed reviews from like different friends on Facebook. I've never done it myself. I can say though that I've had like buffalo cauliflower bites or wings, and those things are great.
See, and that's fine. But why would you call it a cauliflower chicken wing?
I've never seen that before. I've never
feel like
heard
people
of that.
Have called it that. Maybe well, I guess I should probably
new
look.
Friends, I guess.
Yeah, but maybe that's the case.
No, I've gone to restaurants that have it on the, you know, appetizer menu. It's like buffalo cauliflower bites or something, and that's
see, and that's how it great. Should be named. Yeah, that's, those are delicious. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I shouldn't be worked up. Maybe I should.
Well, it's okay.
I swear I've seen it like that before. Well, it's just not a replacement, you know.
No, you're just looking for different things. Also, chicken wings, I mean, depending on the makeup of the sauce, like that in and of itself is not the worst thing from like a health perspective for you either. I remember in grad school, I used to another neighborhood mart that I live now about 3/4 of a mile from, but back in grad school, I was about 1/4 of a mile from. They were really good with like freshly prepared hot foods like rotisserie chicken. You get like macaroni and cheese there. They also had like sandwiches. But one of the things they did was chicken wings. And you could get like, I think it was usually 8 chicken wings for like $3.
Oh, dang. I would demolish that place.
Yeah, tell me about it. So I would, I didn't do this super often, but occasionally go in there and get the chicken wings and then probably pick up like a Greek salad or something.
How many did you get?
Just one package of 8.
Oh.
I mean, that's all the protein I need for one meal. But, you know, you do that and it's probably like $6 or $7, but you're very full. And it's also like a fairly healthy meal too, because, I mean, 8 chicken wings and a medium-sized Greek salad, I mean, that's probably going to be like 500 or 600 calories total.
Yeah.
I
tell you what, I have been on a chicken wing eating frenzy since.
Oh, a frenzy!
It's probably like 2 years now.
2 years. I thought you were gonna be like not, 2 weeks.
Not. It's not been like straight. That's not all I eat. But like, when given the chance, I will just order wings.
What you ever go to Wingstop?
You know what? I don't think I have.
I was there a couple of weeks ago for a focus group. Whatever
I feel like I've heard
doing.
Bad
it was bad so expensive yeah. It was I mean wings in general are not a super cost effective way of getting your protein,
yeah,
but,
especially because the weird thing is the bone in and the boneless. It's a joke because it's just chicken nuggets.
Yeah,
is what bone you're
in
with.
Is a wing, boneless, yeah. Which I like, but it's just a chicken
it's
nugget,
a more expensive so. Nugget yeah, yeah.
But no, wings can be like way too expensive, and Wingstop is certainly no exception. I went in there and just ordered the cheapest thing, which still ran me like $11. But it was just like, I don't get it. Even if I like chicken wings, I don't want to sit down and like pay $16-$17 for chicken wings. I don't know. Just
you know who
at like a fast food place at B-Dubs I'll pay a little bit more, but still I don't want to.
I think, and I'm not sure how much of it he owns, but you know who owns Wingstop, right?
Jeff Bezos.
No. He might wish, but Rick Ross.
Remind me who that is.
He's like a rapper. Oh. Or a singer. I would say he's probably more of a rapper than a singer.
I know Rick James. Super Rick. She's super freaky.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
I think. If I'm wrong, though, it's going to be embarrassing.
Well, let's look up Rick Ross. I'm sure you know some of his stuff. He has a few that are...
People always say that, and then they play me a song, and I'm like, what? Like, that happened to me, you know, last month when I first learned about that old country road song, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And my friends were singing it, and I was like, what? And they're like, oh, come on. This is the most famous song in America. You know this song. Not that I'm disputing that, but I was like, I don't think I know it. And then they played it on their phone, and I was like, yeah, nope, don't know this song. So it happens. I'm smart in some areas and completely clueless in others, mainly in pop culture.
Yeah, I'm not that far behind you, but to be fair, I am behind you when it comes to pop culture references. The only song that really jumps out is Purple Lamborghini. That was a song that was on Suicide Squad. The rest, this is going to be bad, but yeah, and same here. But none of them actually stand out to me. I'm thinking I didn't know who Rick Ross was. I'm trying to remember who I am. Have him confused with.
Huh. Rick Ross kind of sounds like somebody who sounds like he's famous. In fact, I'm just telling you exactly what I thought when you said Rick Ross. I was like, oh, that's probably someone super famous that I'm going to know right away when Matthew says it. Then you said who he was, and I was like, I don't actually think I know. Yeah. And now the fallout of the conversation is only confirmed.
Is you were right.
That I'm pretty confident I really have no idea who this is, nor should I have any great reason to know who it is.
Hit You From the Back. That's one of his popular songs. Street Life. I'm a G.
We could be here all night.
Yeah. And I'll stop there. Crocodile Python. That's another one.
Well, what does that even mean?
I don't know.
Some Those are just reptilian... two animals.
Yeah, I know.
I should write a song called Moose Orangutan.
Platypus. Yeah,
for that sure. too. Here, when you were a kid, did you think there was a G at the end of orangutan?
I still do. Oh. I'm just kidding.
It is. It's more fun to say with the G.
Without orangutan.
It, yeah, yeah. Without it, you feel dirty or something.
Yeah, I do feel dirty. We used to eat orangutan O's.
Oh, I thought you weren't going to have the O's on there, and I was going to be like, dang, some exotic hunting you're doing.
Yeah.
Orangutan O's, what were those like?
I don't know. They're just like very...
Were they like Cheerios
like
or
cinnamon? They're like kind of cinnamon-y. So like it's pretty much how I pictured as a child biting into the arm of an Cheerios. Orangutan.
Oh, wow. Into the arm, you say?
Or just some like... really gingery, hairy area. Oh. Preferably the arm. I guess there's other areas you could have bitten into, but...
Wait, yeah. Why hairy?
It's that... so, you know, what color do you think of when you think of, like, cinnamon?
Brown.
Really? I think of, like,
red. Because cinnamon is brown.
Yeah, I know, but the artificial cinnamon's always red. You got those like cinnamon.
Red and brown, I guess. Yeah.
Think of Fireball. That's what I'm thinking of. That's more so of a red, you know?
Yeah, I suppose. To me, it's like whatever the line is between red and brown, that's where that falls.
Yeah. Gosh, what is that? It's like
I don't know.
Like a vomit color, really.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was gross.
Dude, apple cinnamon Cheerios, those things are the bomb. As for frosted Cheerios, dude.
So any what's of
the
favorite?
Cheerios with all the extra sugar, that's what I'm going for.
What was your favorite, like, sugary cereal?
Oh, man, it's hard to compete because there are a lot of ones, especially the ones that come in the big bags, that are just like, oh, my God, it's the best day of my life when, you know, mom or dad brings that home from the grocery store. So... The one that always went crazy fast was Marshmallow Treasures, which is basically...
Was that like the off-band of Lucky Charms?
Yeah, it's got the octopus on the front. But they always made the box so small, and you know this living in a big family.
You
I know
had to
this
get up early, baby.
Family. Yeah, usually it was a situation where like... You go, everyone gets to go through once, and then usually there was like enough for one more serving. But
see,
my dad,
I was in a big enough family where we that
yeah,
wasn't
you
the
see,
case.
You
it was
got
pretty
an
much,
extra
it was gone.
Three people yeah. on us. My dad, who you know would have to be at Kmart by 6 a.m. the next morning, would always nail us for the last bowl. And looking back, he earned it. But so those were really good just because the demand was so high. But yeah. when you get into the big bags, I mean the crispy rice, like Fruity Pebbles basically, but off brand. I mean those things are even now. Sometimes I like fantasize about having a big bowl of Fruity Pebbles, and I mean I'm a grown man, I could have that any day I want, but
yeah.
I mean, that's so good. You get just the right amount of milk in there. Oh, God, that's so good.
Yeah, you could just do a lot of damage. The size of those bags were,
They're
you could
huge.
Just get lost. If you couldn't, you had to make sure to open it carefully. Otherwise, you just flood your whole kitchen, essentially.
They've got the big bags at my local market that I go to. And a couple weeks ago when I was there, I took a long, hard look at one of them because... Some of them were like $6, but then there was one or two that were like $2.50, and I was just like, man, I could go to town on this, but
now,
I don't need the sugar.
There is something that I always go back and forth with, and you know that I'm not a stickler for name brands. I will go cheap, as cheap can get if needed. Throwback to our early days in high school when we used to get, what were those like off-brand sandwich cookies? I think they were at Schnucks.
I don't know their names, but no, you
there's
get
no,
a,
there's
yeah,
no
it's
name.
Just
it's just
cookies
sandwich
for like,
cookie
for like $1.39. It was great.
Oh man. And it was like, it wasn't even like the normal size. It was like literally sleeves and sleeves of these things.
They're so
but
good.
But as I've gotten older, it's like you can tell a difference, and I'd probably be more likely to buy Oreos than an off-brand because I feel like you can tell a difference in taste.
It
but
depends on what you want. Do you want
that's true.
A medium amount of really good cookies?
Do you want
or do you
quality
want all
or do you want
you
quantity?
Can eat of yeah. average taste cookies? It's like in the office when they with the pizza by Alfredo versus pizzas, Alfredo Cafe, whatever
yeah.
that episode is, launch party.
One.
Yeah. I hear you, though. I don't think I've ever bought Oreos at a store, though, just because I'm not usually wanting to pony up the, like, $4 or whatever to do it.
But I guess my question is, what's the cereal that's, like, iconically, like, the flavors there? Because I feel like you can get the off-brands of, like, Fruity Pebbles, and you can't really tell a difference. There's some of those that are just like,
no, it's just
it's not
rice.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like...
No, I don't know. The Cap'n Crunch always had a signature off-brand that you can get in a big bag, and that tasted... Actually, if I'm remembering correctly, the off-brand that you get in the big bag of Cap'n Crunch didn't have, like, the berries. It just had the the golden-colored whatever those things are.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But to me, like, I didn't mind because that stuff was still crazy good.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to count that because it still tasted really good to me. I don't
was
know.
Was it actually different flavors? Because I think if you look at Fruit Loops, which I just realized other day was spelled with
two O's.
Yeah, crazy talk. But they all taste the same. There's not like a distinct flavor for each one.
Definitely.
They're just dyed differently.
Yeah.
But I think Captain Crunch, it is flavored differently.
I think you're right. But I haven't had Captain Crunch in probably 7 or 8 years, so... No, off the top of my head, I can't think of any cereal that didn't have, or any like major cereal. I guess my one response to this, and it's not a major cereal, but do you remember, Waffle Crisp?
Oh yeah. Those, I think I've only had those like twice. Maybe
those things
twice.
Were the bomb growing
up. Did they not? Like, were they around for an extended period of time?
No, they weren't.
Yeah, I didn't think they were.
But those things were so good. I don't know. It was like the perfect blend of
sugary, sweet, crunch.
Cinnamon and like brown sugar. And like, didn't actually really taste like waffles in any way, but it was still.
Yeah, but they were good.
The specific flavor that they had concocted was absolutely delicious. So yeah, those are really good. I don't feel like Honeycomb, as far as I remember, really had much of a off-brand. The more I think about it, the more I definitely know that it existed in some form or fashion, but I don't really remember ever buying off-brand Honeycomb. I think we usually bought the name brand for that stuff. So
some things you just can't skimp on, I suppose.
I don't know how we wandered into a riveting 15-minute conversation on cereal, but I don't think I've had cereal in like
I was gonna mention that too.
Five years.
It's been a long time. I'm actually kind of. I would have cereal. In fact, not like this even relates, I guess, but it's sometimes called hot cereal, the bloat meal. You know, I bought some of that thinking like, oh, this is great protein. It's easy just to get down. And I don't typically eat breakfast in the morning. So I was going to start trying to be healthier. And I'm like, this is pretty easy to make. I got that, I don't know, maybe last year. And it's still in the cabinet. And I don't know if I've opened it. So I might have to.
Yeah, I've had a couple periods in my adult life where I've tried to get and oatmeal, and it's just never taken for me.
I just feel like I'm eating baby food. It's not even the flavor, it's just the texture thing that really gets to me.
Yeah, and I've tried a bunch of different things. I've mixed in more peanut butter than I should, chopped up some apples, you know, doused it in cinnamon. You're right, it's the texture. I can't.
Mush.
It's not. I'm not even like, oh, this is so gross. I'm just like, I'm not getting anything out of this. This doesn't. Interesting to me.
Like the Christmas Carol when they talk about gruel, that's literally the texture that comes to my mind. Like cold oatmeal. Yeah.
You know what's really disappointing though is a bad breakfast. I was walking. So my breakfast every morning is an apple on my half mile walk from apartment to train, and I was walking this morning, and I take my first bite into my apple. And already I'm kind of on high alert because my apple that I had yesterday was okay, but had a really big brown spot that you couldn't pick up on from the outside.
Oh.
So I bite into the apple. It's completely brown. And I was just like, okay. So I switch around to the other half. I do a little quick rotation in my hand. Bite in there, it's completely brown. But it wasn't like rotten. The texture was still okay. The whole thing was just brown for whatever reason after you got in past the skin.
I've had that sometimes,
and it wasn't like the worst thing of all time, but it was just pretty disappointing.
Void of real flavor.
No flavor really. And that was, you know, that's my breakfast, so I still ate the whole thing, but it was just like, man, tough start to the day. So but I'm doing better now. So
well, that's good. Okay, so we're getting pretty close to the hour mark, but I do want to give a kind of a I normally ask you if you have any closing thoughts, but I kind of wanted to cut you off here at the pass. So Quinn mentioned that he is going to be doing a little bit of stand-up coming up. Do you want to, like, for the two people that listen, do you want to let them know the time, the place, what your set's going to be?
It's
like,
it's not a public event, so I probably
It's private.
Yeah, it's private.
Oh, you didn't let me know that. So I guess here's a teaser for something that you cannot go to.
Yeah, well, I can't give too many details about it. No, I have a friend, a mutual friend, actually. We both know him. But he's hosting something at his apartment. And it's pretty low-key. I just found out about it this morning, though. And it's not like a comedy thing. It's mostly local musicians. But I just got a 10-minute set, and I'm a little rusty. I haven't done much comedy in general.
Is it going to be like some musical comedy or strictly comedy?
No. No, I will let the musicians do the music and I wouldn't call myself a comedian, but the more comedy-oriented people go for the comedy. So I just got to, you know, that's just happened today. So I got to sit down and and throw something together here. But the plan is to implement a 5-drink minimum, so it doesn't really matter.
That's fair.
If I'm good or not. So, yeah, no, it should be fun. I haven't done stand up in a little while, and it'll be good to get back into it. So,
record this at any your set, or is it just going to be pretty much one and done?
Well, I wouldn't say not recording it would. I guess I see what you're saying in terms of one and done. No, I might have someone record. I don't know. I don't want to task somebody with holding up my iPhone for 10 minutes, especially for this set that isn't going to get me on the Tonight Show or something. But I don't know. I'll keep you posted. If I was going with someone, then I might be like, hey, will you record me? But I don't think I'm going to know anyone there besides the host. So.
No, I gotcha.
We'll see.
Well, we'll have to check in, I guess, next week and see how that...
I suppose we could.
Yeah. See how it panned out. But well, good luck to you.
Thanks.
I know, when was the last time you did any sort of form of comedy writing? Was it like the Oscars, your monologue? Or?
Oh, right. I write all the time. I just haven't been on stage in a couple months, so
just have so much material. But
I do, actually. I've got, you go into my notes app on my phone and you'll just see random
stuff.
Was
that an invitation or you just okay
there's a lot of stuff. There are a lot of half-baked bits that are just a funny concept that I haven't evolved into anything beyond a couple sentences. But
I think there's a joke about getting high in there somewhere.
You're the one on my climate report, 2 weeks ago, who said you were higher than you've ever been. So,
well, I wasn't quite half baked though. So,
oh, and you know what the worst was? After I finished recording Beantown this last weekend, I had gotten a friend in Germany to send me a climate report in German.
I
completely forgot. So that's coming up this next week. There's your
no
your
we won't
teaser.
Know the current weather. Oh man,
that's okay because no one will understand, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's true. Are you gonna translate? I guess we'll see.
No,
tune
not.
In everybody to the most recent
that
Beantown
sounds
podcast.
Like more work for me.
Yeah
it's not happening.
Well, I think that's a pretty decent point to wrap things up. Do you have closing thoughts besides the fact that you're not willing to translate German?
No, I feel like I've said so much.
Yeah, I know. This was fun.
After,
we didn't really have much to...
After you talked for 4 minutes straight on Amazon, I really felt like I had to make up some ground.
Yeah, and you did. The cereal was a nice way to end it. A
lot of cereal.
Well, guys, if you want to reach out to us and give us feedback or maybe even your favorite brands of cereal, you can email us at thewnpod@gmail.com, or you can click the link in the description or show notes of this podcast. And I don't know, we're still waiting on voice messages, so you can maybe try that and send us one of those and we'll feature you on the podcast. We're holding out hope. Whoever does it's going to be a pioneer, a real trendsetter. So it's either going to be you or it might be one of us if we get so desperate. But other than that, that's all I got. So I guess we will talk to you in the next one. Bye, guys.